Isn't God good to us? Thank you again so much for being here tonight. And so far, the service has been outstanding. Appreciate the Lord meeting with us. And appreciate some of you smiling. Praise God. If you smile on Wednesday night, that's good, isn't it? God's in that. And I heard a preacher say one time, he said, people get to shouting in church and get to rejoicing. He said, if you ever want to know if it's real, you just say tithing. And if they keep shouting, it's real. And if they quit shouting, it's probably not real. Isn't that right? No, that's not true. But I'm glad the Lord allows us to worship Him. And He sure has been good to us, hasn't He? I said He's sure been good to us, hasn't He? Amen. Turn in your Bible to Proverbs 13 tonight. Proverbs number 13. Or I'm sorry, is that right? Proverbs 13 or Proverbs 14? Let's do 14. You want to? All right, let's do Proverbs 14. And we'll begin in verse number 1. And just appreciate, again, the Lord being good to us. Appreciate His Word. As we've been studying through Proverbs, I hope it's been a help to you. And I really, looking back, I wish someone, and again, I say this, but God gives us the ability to study the Word of God on our own. But I wish I'd heard some messages on Proverbs. And as we know, Solomon wrote, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote this book to his son as a book of wisdom, and we're gleaning from it thousands of years later, and it's still true. God's Word doesn't change, and you know, really, people don't change. We think they do, but the nature of man has to be changed by the Spirit of God. We don't just choose to change. A real change happens because the Spirit of God changes us. So Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 1. Notice the first word, every. Do you see that? Not some. Not a few, not most. The Bible said, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I pray it be a help to your people tonight. Do you want to lift those up that are traveling, those that are out sick? But Lord, we need to hear from you tonight. We thank you for the inerrancy of the Word of God, the timeliness of it today. And I just pray that we'd take what's preached tonight, we'd take what we learn from your Word, apply it to our lives to make us what we need to be for you. And so thank you again for every person that's here tonight. Give us attentive minds and open hearts that we may receive the Word of God and it would change our lives. And for us, all this done tonight, we'll thank you and praise you. Give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So tonight as we study this portion of Scripture, the title of the message is The Portals of the Home. And so the home, as we know, is the fabric of our society and really the foundation of the church. Now I understand that Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church, but we're called to be the very fabric of it. Good churches are made up of good families, and good families are made up of good homes, and good homes are made up of good Christians. And so it is honestly possibly the greatest target of Satan. It's amazing to me that when you look across the board in society that the divorce rate is over 50%, but I read a statistic that startled me that in the Independent Fundamental Baptist Church, and we claim to be Bible believers, that the divorce rate is almost 60%. And so we understand this, that if Satan can destroy the home, he can destroy the church. And we're seeing that today. We look across the board, and Brother Anderson, I'm sure, could tell you this as he travels, that more and more we're seeing a lack of power and consistency in the local church. And so there's all kinds of ideas about what the home should look like, especially today when there's really not a true biblical definition in our society. We look and some will say that the heart loves who it loves and we should love that person and it doesn't matter what the Bible says. I read something today, or actually saw something today, and this blew my mind, Brother Jimmy, that there was actually a man that was confused, and I'm not kidding you, I'm not making this up, Brother Jimmy was confused as to why he couldn't breastfeed his adopted child. And I thought, what a perverse world we live in when we can't even understand fundamental basic biology. And again, it was two men living together. They had adopted a child, and I thought, surely this is a joke, but it obviously was not. And so the fact is, there's all these ideas about a home. Well, the fact is that most of them are not biblical ideas. The biblical idea is one man, one woman for their whole life. And I realize we live in a sinful world, and that doesn't always work out, but that should be the goal going into it. As we see young couples, and we have several getting married, it's not out of convenience. It's not even for love. You don't marry for love. You marry because it's the will of God, because that emotion of love fades and changes over time, and then you understand what true love is. And so most of the ideas of what the home or family is a very worldly perspective. It is basically two people living together, and they share bills, and they share a home, and things like that. But a wise man will take God's blueprint for the home and model the home after that. It's interesting to me that I'll sit down with couples, I'll talk with them before they get married, and we're going to be in church, and we're going to be faithful, and we're going to serve God together, Brother Johnny, and something happens from the time they say I do to about the second or third year. It's like all of a sudden God doesn't matter anymore. We got what we wanted, and so God, forget about him, and if we have time for him, then all of a sudden maybe we'll put him, maybe church will be important, but if we have the lake to go to, or fishing or hunting, or just want to go to the mountain shopping one day, who cares? And now we see the results of that in our society, that the home is not valued. Well, may I say this? That one of the institutions that God institutes is the home. It is important. It is valuable. It needs to be preserved. It needs to be preached about, and it needs to be honored. And so here, as we've said, the Word of God deals with every matter of life, and the book of Proverbs seems to have the practical advice. And so the Bible here in chapter 14, verse 1 says this, every wise woman. Did you get that? Didn't say every intellectual woman. Didn't say every popular woman. Didn't say every woman of societal means. It says every wise woman. And my friend, may I say, if the Word of God is inspired, and we know it is, then the word every means every single one. Not some, not most, not a few, but every single one. The Bible said every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And so here, I'll deal with two things. I'll deal with the housewife, and then I'll deal with the husband. So ladies, it's not going to all be about you. I've learned my lesson in 19 years. You don't go one without the other. You'll get in bad trouble. And I'd rather make the men mad than I would the ladies, but I'm still going to get you, amen? So here, number one, we're dealing with the housewife. The housewife. In other words, in verse 1, every wise woman buildeth her house. You say, well, that's not practical, preacher. We live in 2021 and things are different now, and that's Old Testament, and so therefore we live in a modern world. Well, may I ask you this? How's the modern world working? How's it working in our society? How's the confusion? How is the home looking? How are the children growing up? I mean, the fact is, most of our children grow up, the screen is their babysitter. And so here, it deals with this. It deals, first of all, with a housewife with her wisdom. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's not a book of intellectualism. It's not a book of intelligence. It's a book of wisdom. And the Bible said, every wise woman buildeth her house. And so we're talking here about true wisdom, not the wisdom of the world, not some little quote or meme that you find on the internet, but the Word of God and what God has to say about the genders. Now, I know that's not popular in 2021. We're all the same. We're not all the same. God created man. God created woman. God created male. God created female. And he gave man a role. He gave female a role. And so the fact is, no matter what you think or what I think, God has already defined what those things are. And so true wisdom, the Bible said, buildeth. And that word buildeth means this, wisdom on past experience. Wisdom on past experience. May I say this? If we take a biblical perspective on everything, then guess what, young ladies? You're supposed to look at the older ladies in the church, amen? And you're to glean off of their experience. You're not to glean from some blog or some Facebook post that you think's interesting. That's not what God tells us to do. You're not to glean from your favorite article or your favorite writer or your favorite woman of the year or whatever it is. That's not it. The Bible said we're to glean off of the aged, amen? So ladies, if you want some wisdom, then what you ought to do is find you a godly woman that's had a husband for many years and find out what she did. Let me say it again. Find out what she did, what she's doing. And so buildeth is that idea not of destructing, but construction, right? Not destruction, construction. And so a wise woman will take her wisdom from past experience to impact present and future. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? When you're a child, and especially when you're a first child, if you're the first child, you'll understand what I'm saying. You think your parents were so much harder on you, right? You thought it wasn't fair because when the next one came, they got away with more stuff. Well, let me give you some sage wisdom here. You were the guinea pig. You had stuff being tried out on you, right? And so it'll happen. Well, they didn't treat so-and-so like they treated me. It's because we figured out it didn't work. And so it's the same thing. Ladies, if you want to have a healthy, happy home, then you take past experience from others that have gone through it, and you take past experiences from things that you've done, and you don't keep doing the same thing that doesn't work. You figure out what does work. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Well, I'm not going to give in because my way's right and his way isn't right. My way's right and the kid's way isn't right. My way's right and the preacher's way isn't right. Listen, you do all you want to, but you're never going to have a happy home. See, we have counsel from those who have been there before in the Bible to give us wisdom. Don't say this, men of God. You're a dumb preacher if you don't find some old men and find out what they did and find out what they did right and find out what they did wrong instead of saying, well, I don't know what they did. Well, you better, right? Same thing with a home. Fellas, you ought to find some men that have a happy home and find them and ask them what they did. Ladies, you ought to find some ladies that have a happy home. Well, I'm not going to do that, preacher. It's 2021. I'm going to be an independent woman. You might be an independent, unhappy woman. Amen. So the house, her wisdom, the Bible says, every wise woman buildeth her house, not tears it down, not tears her husband down, not tears her children down, not talks about how awful her house is and how she wished her husband made more money so they could have a nicer house and a nicer car. Am I on here? Because the more you destroy, the unhappier your home's going to be. Now I'm going to say this, you might get mad, but you picked him. Right? You picked him. So maybe we ought to just be content. You say, well, he's not perfect. Ma'am, I don't know if you looked in the mirror. Well, he used to be so strong and muscular. Have you seen him, preacher? Do we need to pull out your wedding pictures? See, we have to take our counsel from the Word of God. And the Bible says every wise woman... Listen, don't tear down your husband. If you want a better husband, pray for him. You want better children, pray for him. You want a better house, you want a better life, you ought to pray for it. Not go around telling all your friends and your lady friends at coffee how awful he is and how miserable you are and he doesn't make me happy. Can I give you something tonight, folks? Don't expect your spouse to make you happy when it's you're not happy because your relationship with God. What I'm saying is we expect our spouse to fill in the gap because we have no relationship with God. My wife was not put on this earth to make me happy. My wife was put on this earth to complete me, right? I wasn't put on earth to make her happy. I was put on the earth to complete her. And if you can't find your joy and your happiness in the Lord, you're never going to be happy. Well, he doesn't do things to make me happy. She doesn't do things to make me happy. They're not able to. They don't meet my needs. They're not able to. They don't have the ability. You with me? I'm trying to help you. Because this will make you a whole lot more content if you'll stop expecting your spouse to fill in the gap, the void that you have there because you have no relationship, no fellowship with Christ. Amen. Brother Anderson, you can shake hands tonight. I'm slipping out the back door. So it deals with her wisdom and also with her welfare. Bible said, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hand. So foolish woman's behavior affects the future. A wise woman's behavior affects the future in a positive way. A foolish woman's behavior affects the future in a negative way. Those those Wesley boys, you know who got the credit for them? Wasn't their daddy, it was their mama. You've ever heard the expression, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world? Ladies, you have more impact with your children because you're around them more. You have more impact on raising young ladies because you're around them more. And so in other words, a woman's action affects the future and welfare of generations. We stopped raising godly young ladies, and so now we see that we wanted equal rights and burning underwear and all the rest of it, and look what we have today. I told you, ladies, I'm getting to the men, so don't. I see some of you, I can see it in your face. Don't be Facebook posting me. We're Bible believers here, are we not? We got to take the easy with the hard. You're not going to ever have a happy home tearing it down. You want to help the welfare of your home? Build it up. Build it up, right? Build up your husband. You want a better husband? Build him up. You want better children? Build them up. Now, I'm not saying don't correct them. You correct them. So he deals with the housewife. All right, ladies, get ready. Now you can, the fellas get two verses. You only got one. Look at verse 2. He that walketh in uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. And in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. So here the Bible deals not only with the housewife, but deals with the husband. In verse 2, the Bible deals with the husband's walk. The husband's walk. Look, it says, he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. So what are we talking about in his walk? A man that walks in uprightness in every situation will have God's favor. You with me? In other words, don't do right because somebody's watching. Do right because it's right. Don't do right because you benefit from it. Do right because it's right. You want the favor of God, do right because it's right. Amen? There's not ever a wrong. Well, you don't know how this guy treated me. All I'm doing is returning how he did. That's not in your Bible. We don't return evil for good. We return good for evil. Amen? And so, fellas, the fact is, we can't put all the blame on the ladies because guess what? You're supposed to be the head of the house. Go ahead, ladies. You can say amen. So it shows our walk, shows our lives honor God or don't. Either if our walk honors God, it shows our trust in him. If our walk does not, I didn't say perfect, right? So ladies, don't you go home and wear him out and say, well, you know, your walk is this. You're supposed to be the one encouraging him, right? But fellas, here's the thing. You ready? In most Baptist churches I know of, if it wasn't for the ladies, the church would fall under. Amen. In most homes, if it wasn't for the ladies, the house would shut down. But you don't understand, preacher, I work 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day. When I come home, I'm tired. Good for you. Welcome to the real world. You don't understand, preacher, I make the money, and so therefore I shouldn't have to do this. Welcome to the real world. Your wife should not be the one getting you up to go to church on Sunday. Amen. Your wife shouldn't be the one dragging you on Wednesday night. It ought to be you jumping in the car and them getting to church and getting ready to go for everybody else. Hello? And so our walk says a lot about our belief. Our belief affects what? Our behavior. And our behavior is our walk. Fellas, I'm saying this. We got to walk right. Now, I didn't say we're perfect, ladies, but the fact is, we ought to walk and follow God. You know what's sad to me? It's sad to me, Brother Anderson. I've seen it year after year. You'll have a guy, he'll come to church because his wife wants him to. That's the only reason he comes. She guilts him into going. And he'll be in there, Brother Tim, for a little while. And he'll get out and she'll keep coming. That's sad. You don't know why our society is the way it is? Here it comes. Because we've got a bunch of 50-year-old adolescents that's never grown up. We got men that still acting like 15-year-old boys. We got women acting like 15-year-old girls, want to be wooed and swooshed off their feet instead of just loving God. Folks, it's time for God's people to start walking like they love God. Amen. So our walk says a lot about our belief. If you say you love Jesus, and I've seen it, you know what? You ought to be in church your whole life. If you say you love Jesus, you ought to live like it outside of church. Folks, I'm saying tonight that it's time for God's people to let their walk impact their talk. In other words, what we say we are, we should live that way. And so when we are perverse, we prove that our faith is not truly in the Lord. And guys, how many of you don't raise your hand, but you go to work and you start living for the Lord at work, right? You're in the break room, and you don't tell all the dirty jokes, and you don't get involved with that. And how many of you know there's always, Brother Bobby, there's always some guy that'll cuss, use profanity, and say things he shouldn't say, and you'll say something about being saved. He say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Truth? You know what? Their walk does not match up with their talk, does it? Or they'll say something like this. They'll start cussing and carrying on. You'll say, now listen, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm sorry, so am I. I didn't know that. So you just don't cuss around other Christians. See, we bought into this thing about eternal security. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, let me clarify before some of you run out and say, preacher doesn't believe in eternal security. I surely do. What I don't believe in is this garbage where you say a little prayer when you're 5 years old and you live like the devil and there's never any fruit of what you say you are. And you run around telling everybody, well, I believe once saved, always saved. You know what? Paul tells us that if we say we're saved, our walk should reflect it, and that we should not sin, right? We don't willfully sin just because we say we're saved. And so he deals with the walk. When we are perverse, we prove that our faith is not truly in the Lord, that it is a religion. Listen, if your walk doesn't match your talk, we sit here and we talk about this, Brother Charles. We talk about the Catholics, and well, they think they can do anything they want to and burn a candle and say some penance and throw some money in the offering plate and talk to a guy behind the curtain and do so many Hail Marys, and they just go out and do whatever they want to after that. Well, Baptists are no different. They just use the altar instead of the confessional booth. So the Bible deals with his walk, but then it deals in verse 3 with his word. The Bible said, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. So how many know tonight that God hates pride? So when God uses the word pride in a scripture, it's time to take notice, right? And so here, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. You ever met somebody that their favorite subject was them? I did this, and I did this, and at my other job, I was this, and at my other church, I did this, and this, and this, and I could be a blessing here, and I could do this for you. You don't talk about the Lord or anybody, just me, right? One thing you learn in sales is this: you let people talk about themselves. Man, they'll talk themselves into buying what you got. You don't have to sell it to them. People like to talk about themselves. It's pride, right? We don't like to admit we're wrong, fellas. Because we've been taught that being wrong shows weakness. We had this discussion in Sunday school. People want to die on every mountain. I know that's not the way it went, Brother Johnny. Uh-uh. I'll never admit I'm wrong, you know. It's that pride. The Bible tells us only with pride cometh what? Contention. The reason we have arguments, fights, disagreements, can't forgive each other is pride. They don't deserve my forgiveness. I'm not going to give them my forgiveness. I'm not going to admit that I'm wrong. And it is hard. I will be the first to admit. If I think I'm right, man, you're going to have to prove me wrong. But I wonder how many times me and Miss Ellen have gotten an argument because of my pride. Well, Johnny, there's been times I had to go to my kids and apologize. There's been times other men I've had to apologize to. See, by pride cometh contention. Our fleshly pride will not bow to humility, but will rise up in pride. You don't believe it? Turn on the news. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I am so fed up with all of our leaders, every stinking one of them. I'm fed up with them. I'm fed up with the lying and conniving and the taking situations and turning them. And you know what? I think people, if some of them would just fess up and say, you know what? I was wrong. After we got off the floor in amazement, probably forgive them and move on. But we're in a day where we'd rather have division than unity. Now, I'll say this. If it's biblical and it's a conviction I have, I'd die before I'd go back on that. But everything's not a conviction. I know some preachers, you know what? They'll die for preferences and try to make them biblical convictions. I don't think a preacher isn't right with God because he don't wear a necktie in the pulpit. I'm going to. And anybody preaches in this pulpit's going to. But I got better stuff to do than troll Facebook and see what preacher's doing what. I didn't even know. Brother Jimmy had to tell me about Brother Matney. I knew the situation, but I didn't know that particular part of it. And by the way, don't get me wrong, time out. I'm not saying Brother Jimmy spends all his time on Facebook, okay? I'm not saying that. He just happened to catch it. So the Bible says here in verse 3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. So the contrast is one that the words destroy, but look at the last part of the verse, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Wise words build up, do not destroy. I was talking to a man today, I had a meeting, and he and I were talking. And he said, you've been pastoring how long? I said, it'll be 19 years next month. And he said, do you think you've compromised? I said, no, I ain't compromised. I said, I've wised up some. And he said, what do you mean by that? I said, I've come to realize this. All I can do is throw the meat out there. Whether people take it or not, I can't force feed them. I can't make them do right. I can't make them do what I think they ought to do. That's between them and God. And so he just had this puzzled look. He's a young man, had this puzzled look on his face. And I said, I've just come to realize this, that if I encourage people to do right, I'll give you an example. Guy told me he went to Harold Seitler's church for years. He said, never heard Harold Seitler one time preach on dress standards. Not one time. He said, every time Brother Seitler would come back, he'd say, I just want to tell y'all, ladies, I am just so pleased. Thank y'all for dressing like godly ladies. See, I never had a problem with it. And I found that a lot of times the bless God fireball preachers that preach against everything from hairspray to wire-rimmed glasses doesn't fix anything. If you won't do it because you love God, you ain't going to do it because the preacher said to do it. So, you can beat up on people all you want to, but they're not going to do what you want them to do. Well, John, it's a whole lot better if I can encourage you to love Jesus. If you'll love Jesus, it'll take care of all the other problems. Amen? You'll dress right, listen to the right music, won't smoke dope, won't drink liquor if you love Jesus. God told me one time, Brother Anderson, he said, you know what? He said, the reason I don't like coming to y'all's church. And I said, nope, this ought to be good. I've heard a lot of reasons. He said, because you don't name sin. I said, like what? Like drinking liquor, smoking dope, going to the strip club. Name sin that our people probably don't have a problem with. But if I preach on unforgiveness or bitterness, is that not naming sin? See, the fact is, the wise man's words are his best defense. Brother Bob, I've learned this. You can diffuse a lot of conflict if you don't get involved with it. Or if you just talk nice to people. It makes them even madder. They want to rise out of you. When you don't give it to them, you want to get them mad, that'll make them mad. Wise words show the wisdom of our heart. If you're as wise as you say you are and you love God and love the Word of God, then give wise words to people. I didn't say encourage them to do wrong. I didn't say condone doing wrong. But you know what I found? Most people, when they do wrong, I had a guy call me the other night, talking to him on the phone. He's like, preacher, I need you to pray for me. I said, okay, what's the problem? He said, I'm just not as faithful to church as I should be. It had been real easy for me to say, you know what, bless God, you're right. And if you get right with God, you'd be faithful to church, and you're hurting your family, and you're hurting your testimony, and you're da da da. But the guy called me and told me he knew what was wrong. So why am I going to tell him what was wrong when he already knew what was wrong? And so I really helped him. I really helped him good. He said, what should I do? I said, you want me to tell you the secret to being more faithful to church? He said, yeah. I said, get in your car and go to church. And he had this silence like, that's all you got? That's all I got. Get in your car and go to church, even when you don't want to. Just jump in there, drive to church, walk in the door, and say, I made it again, devil. See, we want all this mystical secret to stuff. Some of us just do it. Yeah? Stop being hearers of the word, be doers of it. We tell you how to read your Bible. Open it up and read it. Yeah? Tell you how to pray. Get on your knees and pray. It's not hard. It's just we want to make it. Well, yes, it's easy for you, preacher, because you're a preacher. But I'm not a preacher. And I don't have the time like you do. How many hours in a day you got? I got 24. How many you got? I can't get up at 4 o'clock more like you do. What time you get up? 6:30? Great. Get up at 6. Can't do that. Well, if you get off Facebook about 9 o'clock and get on into bed, you probably could. I better quit now, preacher. I'm grieve the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to be strung up before it's all over with. The home ought to be a place that shows the relationship between Christ and the church. And we've made it a mockery. We've made it a mockery because we've let the world dictate to us what the Christian home should look like instead of us dictating to the world what the Christian home should look like. Tonight, as we gather around the altar, of course, I want you to continue to pray for our nation. I want you to pray for our homes, too. Let's make tonight a specific prayer about the homes in our church.